right, next item is a discussion on the concept of preserving road right-of-way. I put this item on the agenda at the request of Councilman Burton. Mr. Burton and I have had a conversation about this concept, and I was tasked with exploring this idea, and today was the day we were able to bring it up to an agenda item. And before we have a presentation, I've asked our friends from DADA to be here to explain this concept. Before we invite them up, I will ask Mr. Burton to say a few words.
Yeah, I've asked this to be on the agenda just for discussion purposes, just solely because of the age-old proverb that if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you got. And we have a traffic problem, which means we have a road problem, and we need to look at a way to solve the road problem. And a way to solve the road problem, I believe, is to prepare for wider roads. I mean, we have to get some relief from what we're doing, and by increasing the setbacks of projects will allow for DLDOT, when the time comes, to be able to expand the road network that we have. I just think this is a future look into what's coming at us, and we have to prepare for it. I mean, we just absolutely have to start preparing for the increased roadways. So I've worked with staff who's worked with DLDOT, who has proposed or just looked at this concept as it is concept to try and help us down the road. So that's kind of why I got it on the agenda, because I think it's important to do now for the future.
Perfect. Okay. So what I thought I would do today, Council, is we've invited DLDOT Director of Planning, Mr. Drew Boyce, to come up and explain maybe the concept as we understood it, and perhaps the concept as DLDOT would envision this idea. Mr. Boyce's staff developed this cross-section, which we have on the screen, and I'm having printed out right now. I'd invite Drew to come up and explain the cross-section. And I've got two other slides after this that perhaps we would envision this idea to apply to specific roads in Sussex County. I've got a list of roads and a map that illustrate that.
Mr. President, one quick question. This doesn't imply that there's going to be any purchasing of any easements at this point. This is just the county addressing setbacks on these roads, so that in the future, if DLDOT wants to create wider roads, they don't have the building, they still will buy and purchase easements from private residents, from the private property owners, right? So none of that changes. We're just looking at like, I think 30 feet is where we allow a lot of houses to be placed along the county roads, and then 60 in some other areas. So we're looking at a new number so that we can facilitate growth. Right.
We're looking at my envision.
It's not going to cost the county or
correct.
Anybody any money at this point.
Correct. It would be in my envision, as it's just an increased setback of what we have now.
Okay. It's just a zoning, a land use decision on our part.
Right. Mr. President, I believe George
Wilson.
Mr. Cole, I believe it's on the front of the houses, it's at least 40 feet back. And on the end of the houses, it's maybe 20, 30 feet back. I don't know the exact number, but. But the front house runs about 40 feet back.
Thank you.
I think
appreciate that.
I think bridge and putting houses in had to be 40 feet back.
Okay. I'm not whatever. I mean, I know certain situations we can be 30 feet, but.
But to the end of the house, I don't know. I'd be 25, 30 feet.
Well, I'm not so concerned about the back end of the house. I'm concerned more about the front end of the house.
What I'm talking about is 40 feet.
So Drew Boyce with Department of Transportation, Division of Planning. And so we've had just some very preliminary conversations on the idea about increasing the setback. The county asked us to come to come to you and propose a possible increase in the building setback line to be able to accommodate the basically trans, my thought straight, converting a road from an existing two-lane road to a four-lane road. So these are roads where existing ADTs or proposed ADTs would increase above, say, the 20, 24,000 car range. That's really the trigger for considering going from two-lane road to four-lane road. And so what we've provided here is a cross-section that shows the existing typical kind of arterial road in Sussex County, two 12-foot lanes, shoulder varies from 0 to 10 feet. Normally, we have about a 50 to 60-foot existing right-of-way on those roads. What we're contemplating in order to take that from a two-lane to a four-lane roadway is the need for, I need to look at my numbers a little closer. So about 130 feet of total right-of-way. So we're really taking a road from that's 50 to 60 feet now to 130 feet to be able to accommodate center turn lanes, the two travel lanes in each direction, then shoulders, drainage on the outside, and multi-use paths. So really with that, if Councilman Wilson is correct that it's a 40-foot setback, we would, in order to be able to accommodate that, we would increase that to 75 feet. So an additional 35 foot of setback is what we would consider in these preliminary discussions on what we would need to be able to accommodate this future four-lane widening.
So a 75-foot setback for structures.
For structures, we really would be looking at physical structures, parking, parking lots, and those types of things, and also stormwater. Those are things that we would that really elevate the cost of our projects and really and sometimes make them technically infeasible when we think about the costs of relocating some of those amenities and elements.
Mr. President,
Charlotte,
just the utilities. Can you talk? How would this impact any potential public utilities as it relates to any setbacks, and how would that impact that?
So, most utility companies have a franchise agreement with us that allow them to locate within the existing right of way. So, since we're not contemplating any right of way at this point, we would they would still be located within that smaller footprint. However, if in fact we do get a building setback increase, when a widening project would come through, we would secure the right of way, like Councilman Cole said earlier. We would purchase that in fee simple, just like we do on all our projects, and then within that purchase, we would have enough room for the utilities to relocate.
I guess my point is it feasible, and this may not be may even not be feasible because of the way that it has currently been done versus a proposal. Can it be suggested that public utilities on, I guess it has to be kind of a straight line, so I could probably, it's not going to make any change there, I'm thinking.
Right. Now, if a utility company was contemplating a major upgrade,
right,
and going to make a significant investment
and shift everything,
they have the right and authority to purchase their own easements outside of the DLDOT right of way, and many utility companies do that. They have that authority. How we would try to coordinate that is in conjunction with this. We would want them to set back and secure that easement kind of on the back side of this 75-foot building setback line, so that we, so that investment does not get impacted by any future widening.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more questions to council?
We have a lot of. We probably have a lot of. Like, say, we take Route 9 from Lewis to Georgetown, right? We've got all these dwellings that are 40 feet, back from the road, right, from Route 9? Okay, 40 foot back. Some of the lots don't have the depth that we've created over, I guess, the years. So when a widening project comes along, I know when I saw Route 26, there was occasionally you had to purchase the entire parcel sometimes because, again, the dimensions of some of these older lots and stuff. You'll still be faced with those similar obstacles, right? Because
yes.
Taking Route 9, we've approved so much, and a lot. If somebody comes in over the counter, maybe Janelle, can you come up a minute? And because I think some of these are planning and zoning questions, man. If there's a farm field along Route 9, and I wanted to create some lots, and you're allowed how many on Route 9, right, facing and coming in, like maybe three before you go to a next slide. But what
yes.
would be the minimum frontage? 150 feet?
150 feet.
And the minimum, there's no minimum depth, but three-quarter acre lot?
Three-quarter acre lots, preferably at least 100 feet depth. So we get.
Well, if we have 100 foot depth, somebody creates a three-quarter acre lot with 100 foot by 100, 150 by 100, 100 feet. If we're going back 75 feet, they've been squeezed in there, especially it's a business. So it sounds to me like we're going to have to make sure our minimum lot sizes on these roads, the dimensions and stuff, would also have to be coordinated with this new setback. Am I figuring this all out kind of correctly? The old stuff we're stuck with, I understand, it's just anything newly created. So maybe three-quarter acre lot isn't going to be feasible in the future. Because 150 by 100, is that a three-quarter acre lot?
It is not.
Oh, what 150 by what would be a three-quarter acre lot? Anybody know?
150 by 148.
Off the top of my head, I don't.
150 by 150.
150 by. No,
I'd be over three-quarter acre lot. 40, 35, 60. Or half acre. I'm sorry. That's what I had. Half acre.
I'm trying to get three quarters.
So at 150 foot frontage.
It's
It'd
over
be 217.
Oh, 217.
The minimum depth is 100, but you still have to. So you have to be 150 feet of road frontage. Your depth has to be a minimum of 100 feet, but you still have to be 3/4 of an acre. So 150 by 100 doesn't equal.
Doesn't make it. Doesn't
right.
make it anyway. Okay. So possibly we may not have to change much, is what I'm hearing. Maybe possibly on residential lots, but if you're doing commercial, where you need parking and. Et cetera, you may have to even be larger parcels.
If this person owns this lot and there's a lot behind them, what are they going to do about that? In other words, there's a lot up front that's 217 feet, and not 217 feet, but the lot, there's a landowner behind that owns a lot behind them. What are we going to do about that?
So you're saying if somebody had 300 or 400 feet of foot of frontage, they wouldn't have to go back so much. The minimum would be 100 feet. And then if we're requiring 75 feet, that only still leaves on some of these older lots that have been created. You could only have a small buildable footprint. And I guess you'd have to purchase the whole thing if you were coming along, because you'd make a parcel almost unbuildable.
You're talking about new lots, George?
No, yeah, just newly created stuff. We'd have to right. look at
they're it. All new creation for work.
Well, I think if something's newly created and there's a new setback, that they'd have to take that into account
when they create their lots. Yeah, okay, right, that's true. So everybody would be on notice, right? So it wouldn't be any surprises. Okay. I actually think we need to do it. I even saw in the past, I'll throw this in really as a sidebar, we had these RPCs sometimes and some slick attorneys, don't take this personally, ever, but slick attorney.
You're not slick.
I know, I'm just saying, I'm just, I didn't want to take it personal. Would create a common area up at the entrance, and then their setback from the common area, they put a 5-foot strip right along Coastal Highway, and then they only had a setback from that of the minimum, and so they were able to circumvent. I think what was required is currently 40 feet along Coastal Highway. So if we wanted to widen Coastal Highway, like in North Bethany, we got homes now sitting within the 40 feet line because we allowed through our zoning thing. I guess the Planning and Zoning Commission agreed with it. we saw a little sleight of hand trick to get closer and more lots, I guess, or whatever. But anyway, okay. All right. I guess I rambled on enough.
That's probably true. Any more questions?
I referenced the specific roads if we were to move forward with this. Amanda, will you slide forward? These would be the potential roads, and I'm a visual learner, so we'll go to the next slide. This shows the red highlighted corresponds with that list of potential roads that would specifically be impacted if this were to ever move forward. And obviously, Mr. Burton floats the idea today, and it's going to take a lot of analysis to get us to the point where we're actually talking how to get to specifics. But today, the conversation for council is to see what he's thinking and where we should move forward from here.
Well, wouldn't we do it even on Coastal Highway and these others? I mean, because we wouldn't
route
leave.
One, route 13, Route 113.
I mean, all the major roads, too.
Is there a reason why those are wide?
I think don't they have the expansion capability now?
I think the minimum setback on 13 is what?
For residential, it's 40. For commercial, it's 60.
Yes.
And that goes for pretty much all the roads, state-maintained roads.
And there may be a need for, instead of two lanes, three lanes, six lanes, or whatever, you know. So we ought to be addressing this on all roads, wouldn't you think?
Well, yeah, Bethany is a town limit, so what are you going to do about that? Bethany and Rehoboth and all these other towns are incorporated.
But Coastal Highway going through Bethany Beach is controlled by the state of Delaware, correct? If there's a big widening project, wouldn't in other words, if you're putting...
Yes, we maintain and have authority over all the roads, even through the municipalities. Yeah. We enter into agreements with them to be able to...
You can tell them how far they got to sit back, is that correct?
No, we do that.
No, we can't. Yeah, understanding that some of these roads do go through municipal boundaries that are outside of the county's jurisdiction, I'm hopeful that we can have the same dialogue with those land use agencies, especially where we've identified the need to widen the road within those areas. It's
well, then don't you see then possibly your agency that 13 Coastal Highway, we should be doing this on all roads we feel that we'll be needing expansion possibly as growth occurs.
Right. So
we don't want to leave out some.
We don't necessarily want to leave out any of these north-south roads either. We do need. I need to go back and assess what the existing right-of-way width is. Mm-hmm. We know on these more arterial roads, these east-west corridors, where the right-of-way is now narrow.
Right,
113, we already have about a 250-foot right-of-way corridor that we have a lot of ability to be able to expand that. We've got plans for a north-south limited access facility, at least for a majority of the 113 corridor. US 13 is still in the corridor capacity preservation program, where we're just trying to, we have the ability to buy down development rights under that program to be able to preserve those existing four lanes that we have. Not too sure whether that's going to get us to the end, whatever the end is, but we do have wider right of way. But I do appreciate the comment. I think we need to go back and look and make sure that we can get those widenings in if in fact we go that way. I think.
But this is more critical than I know 113, because I know there is an extra wide swath through there. I'm not so sure about 13, but and Coastal Highway, is there a big wide swath with the Coastal Highway going up to Milford from St. Louis? Because I know as soon as you get over that Nassau Bridge, you finally can goose it a little bit. I don't do that, but
right, so from
people I know that...
From Nassau North, it's a fairly wide corridor.
You have a good wide...
We would be able to do, as we continue to do the grade separations, and we eliminate the median crossovers, then we do have the ability to widen to the inside to add
okay.
that additional capacity.
Right. Okay. But this is critical right now, I would think. I think I agree with Mr. Burton.
I think what Sussex County is lacking most of quickly now is east-west.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I think the sooner we solve that problem, the better off we are.
And we got 18 that comes into from dual highway from Maryland into a single lane. So what are we going to do about that?
Yes.
Right?
So Maryland is dualizing 404, and so they've got the double barrel, pointed at us. We are in the process of a major planning study now. So we've deployed some technology that's going to allow us to be able to track vehicles. So as they come across 404, where are they going? They've got options. I can choose 16. I can choose 404. I can get on 13, go down to 20, depending on where I'm going. We have a pretty long shoreline that provides a lot of destinations for folks. So the idea is to is at least through that initial study is to determine where we need to go first. What portions of the roadway need to be dualized. We understand we're dealing with a mix of traffic here. We've got development that's going to happen based on the existing comprehensive plan and future comprehensive plan. So we've got local trips that are going to be generating trips onto the road system. For every 1,000 houses, you get a typical home generates 10 trips a day. So you figure 1,000 unit subdivision, were to pop up, that's 10,000 trips. So that's another two lanes right there. Local trips to deal with, and then the regional trips that are coming in from our neighbors and folks that just want to come here and enjoy Sussex.
That means Mike's wife's out shopping right now.
Phew,
she's probably had 5 trips already.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I
Mr. Arnett.
I think you know that the council, and this is not the first time we've had, perhaps this is the first time we've had a public discussion. I don't think there's been, I know that I've personally have shared to the secretary, myself personally, that I would be open to additional setbacks. And I hope the secretary, and for that matter, even the legislature and others out of Dover are understanding that this county, this Sussex County Council, is ready for road improvements from the state of Delaware. And we're looking at all things that we can do from the 5 of us and the staff to be proactive so we can continue to work with each other to solve the problem. I mean, that's kind of where we are. And I think, there's frustration, I think, throughout, but the reality is, that we only can control so much as a 5-member council. And I think that in the end, We are excited about the secretary and her new vision and her leadership that she's brought to the department, because I think she's definitely part of the solution, no question. And hope and pray that our Dover friends will understand that the dollars that are raised for the trust fund are to be earmarked for the infrastructure that it's been deemed to be used for only. Now, that's beyond your pay grade, I know that, but I'm just saying that we appreciate you for being here, and I think in the end, we as a county, take it serious, and we're trying to do all that we can do to be part of the solution.
Right. And we do, we do have the lockbox on the trust fund, so those transportation revenues are and can only be spent on transportation improvements. So we're... So the trust fund and those revenues,
which just occurred,
that just occurred. Yeah. So that sets a pretty good trajectory for us. Now the hard part is we have so many needs across the state. We rub the crystal ball. We look at where folks are headed. Obviously, they're headed here to Eastern Sussex. We know that we've got to make substantial investments in the transportation system, and I think you're going to see that reflected as we continue to put forth for public comment and work with the county in the development of our 6-year capital transportation program. And I think there's been a good trend over the last couple years where we haven't really realized it because we don't see the asphalt and concrete that's out there, but a lot of plans are in development for enhancements to the transportation system.
Well, thank you.
And you're going to see that trend continue.
Anything else from council? Thank you, sir.
Thanks for coming down, Drew.
Thank you very much.
What is the next step, Todd?
So I think
from today, we wanted to gauge your interest and get your opinion on this sort of vision that we're talking about. It's conceptual at this time. I think at this stage next, we'll have to talk about how do we take this idea and move towards ultimately what are we looking at? Is this an ordinance? Does this get layered into the comp plan in some fashion? There's obvious legal questions that we're going to have to ask and get some direction on. Drew's can come back to us on the thought of the 13113 Route 1, but I think we kind of got a sense that east-west is where the focus is on this initiative. So we're going to take all of that, put it together, and report back to see what we need to do. And ultimately,
but it could be put into this mobility portion of the inserted into the mobility compartment there at the land use
plan,
right?
Yeah. The question for council then becomes: do you want to wait that long?
I understand.
Because comp plan is step one, and then the subsequent ordinances after the comp plan would, if this would be one, would come after, which I think probably the direction I would guess is that's going to take too long for us to deal with this issue alone. So I would imagine it would be folded into the comp plan as a result of work done before.
Okay. Yeah, anytime we can do something prior to this comp plan, it's going to be so involved. We ought to get it out of the way. No, I think move forward on it is my advice.
Good conversation.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Burton, for moving this forward.
Thank you. Last item.
You're still up.
Yes, sir. One county administrator's report, one item. Please note, county offices will be closed on Tuesday, July 4th for the Independence Day holiday. In addition, council will not meet July 4th or July 11th. The next regularly scheduled council meeting will be held on Tuesday, July 18th. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Whalen, come on.